Blessing, peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Welcome, guys, to this special edition of the Experiencing Real Life podcast. This is Troy Brewer, and today, guys, we're going to be getting into the Revelation Report. Like, what is that? Well, it's something that my good friend Jamie Galloway and I do every single Tuesday live online. And if you know me on social media, friends, you know how to plug into that every single 12 o'clock noon Tuesday, right? And we're actually going through the entire book of Revelation, line by line, scripture by scripture. We are not saying that we have any authority at all in any of this, except for we do believe in the authority of the scriptures. And guys, I also know that I cannot stand biblical illiteracy. I just can't stand it. I also cannot stand kingdom illiteracy. And we're taking on hell with a water pistol and going, look, you can't say that you're a prophetic person if you're not going to be biblically prophetic. So let's don't be afraid of this. Let's jump in. I think one of the things is people are not only afraid of the content that's in it, they're also afraid of the arguments that come out of it. And I'm not scared of any of that. So get ready for this. You're going to like this. Get ready to meditate upon what it is that you hear. Get ready to grab something once you hear God speak. Friends, this is the Revelation Report. Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer coming at you strong from my office here in Burleson, Texas at Open Door Church. Welcome, my friends, to the Revelation Report. Yay! Guys, you made it to another one of these things. Guys, I want to just tell you that there are going to be people that's going to be joining us from all over the planet Earth here today, and you're going to be so glad that you tuned into this, because we're going to finish up on Revelation chapter 4. We might even get into Revelation chapter 5. Jamie Galloway last week, he stepped up to the plate because I was out of town and I didn't have reliable internet where I was at. And he stepped up to the plate and he went through Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to give you my spin. We're going to be looking at how the heavens declare the glory of God. What does that have to do with Revelation chapter 4? Oh, I'm going to show you. Yes, I am. Guys, we're also going to be spending a little bit of time talking about the seven spirits that are before the throne. We're also going to be talking about the principle that I called third stage. And it's a tremendous, this revelation that God gave me 30 years ago, maybe 35 years ago, that I've been studying my entire life, is very evident all the way through the book of Revelation, and we're going to get off into it, and you're about to find out what I'm talking about. Friends, this is a day, and it's a time, it's a season, it's a Moedim. It is both a time and a season of diving into the Word of God, finding out what these are my invitations, these are my permissions, these are the things that Jesus is inviting me into, and God is not inviting you to live a powerless life at all. It's an incredible time. You know, we just got through with Easter, just got through with Resurrection Sunday, we just got through with that whole time, and I'm telling you, we just got through with Passover. These are amazing times, guys, and your prophetic alignment is so important that you literally position your heart to say, God, I want to be in perfect sync and perfect timing with you. Guys, we want to help you do that as we go verse by verse through the book of Revelation. Guys, joining me from his home all the way in big time Nashville, Tennessee, is my good friend, Brother Jamie Galloway. Hey, Brother Jamie, what's up, man?
What's up, Troy? Man, I'm really looking forward to this. We skipped last week, but I got to handle the last one all on my own. And so you get to correct all my heresy.
You know, man, I usually make fun of you when you're not on, you know, because, you know, you're out doing a conference or something. I was gone last week and you had to handle it for me last week. So did you berate me the way I typically berate you, or did you show a little bit of class?
You know what? The Lord says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. So You know, I'm a Christian, Troy. I'm a Christian.
You proved it last week, man.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was excellent. Jamie, look, man, we have people all over the world that is joining us right now. And guys, if you will continue to tell us where it is that you're listening from, I'm looking at Newport, Virginia. I'm looking at Big Time Burleson. I'm looking at Kansas. I'm looking at Keller, Texas, Leesburg, Florida, Iowa, Big Time John Wayne territory right there. Did you know John Wayne was born in Iowa? Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. I did know that. I did know that.
I can't get you on anything, man. Ontario, Canada is in the house. South Africa is here. Vancouver, Des Moines. Oh, my gosh. Look at all these people. Guys, welcome. Welcome, my friends. So Brother Jamie, we both decided, you know, for one thing, you and I are good friends, and we do life together as much as we can. And we actually do love each other. We really do. And we also love the people that God trusts us with. And we decided at the very beginning, you know what? I don't know anybody that's just going through line by line the book of Revelation, because people are scared of it today. And I think that there's a mandate from the body of King Jesus, a mandate from the throne to the body of King Jesus. Jump into this. Into this book. This has been so life-giving for me, man, as we've been going verse for verse for verse. What do you say about that?
Yeah, I totally agree. Can you see me?
No, where'd you go?
I don't know, man. I'm somewhere here.
Listen, audio's on.
There we are. There we are. I agree, man. We are, you know, it's fun. I for me, this is actually a learning experience. I'm not just communicating what I know. I'm actually learning as we go.
Me too.
And that's what makes it fun. We wanted to go on a journey together. And the reality is we were doing this before the show, just back and forth. And so we're like, let's just do this and bring everybody else in on this conversation. And so it's been fun.
Well, it's one of the things that we do. And it's one of the things that all of us do when we get together. It's like, dude, have you been through Revelation 4 lately? Dude, check this out. Or have you been through Revelation 5? And it's funny, every week when we get together, it's like, dude, I'm so blown away about what we're going to talk about. And it's, this is what we do when all of us get together. And we're just, it's a big deal to share it with everybody else. So guys, get ready, make yourself teachable, open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4. And we're going to go through this. Now, last week, Jamie, you went through pretty much the entire chapter, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I started off in verse 6, and because you had already touched on 1 through 5, but there's so much to go through here. You had gone through the sardius stone, you had gone through the jasper. Those are the stones that the Lord looks like in his appearance. But I don't know if we need to rehash some of that, because I think it's really good stuff. We can do that. And, you know, layers of revelation begin to unfold as you begin to talk about it again. And so, but then I started off around verse 5 or 6 and the seven lamps of fire. You know, those are the seven spirits of God, Troy.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus is anointed with the seven spirits of God. And, you know, each of us, the Bible says that we've all been given a measure. So it's a measure of faith or a measure of the gift of the Spirit. But Jesus has the Spirit without measure. And so, you know, to one, he gives one talent. To one, he gives it two talents. But I don't know how that works in God's economy where he can measure himself. But Jesus carried the Spirit without measure, which is Isaiah 11:2, the seven spirits of God. And naming them off, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And so those seven rest upon Jesus, but they are also before the throne. So you have the picture of the Trinity. And, you know, if you already have trouble understanding that God is three in one, now you have to really wrap your mind around the Holy Spirit is seven in one. And so he's the sevenfold Spirit of God, as some translations or commentators would say, the sevenfold Spirit of God. So that's where I left off.
Well, you know, one of the things that I like to say is whenever I look at the seven spirits of God is I like to say when the Spirit of God is made manifest, it always falls into these seven different categories.
Wow. Okay?
So it's like the manifest presence of God. And when the Spirit of God is made manifest, when you can see the Spirit of the Lord for what he truly is, mm-hmm. manifests in these seven different categories. The very last one in the fear of the Lord is one of my favorite ones. And I love the whole study of the fear of the Lord. And what that is basically to love what God loves and to hate what God hates. It means to conform your heart to God's heart. It means to be passionate about the things that he's passionate about. And I love that. I love the seven spirits of the Lord. I would encourage everybody to continue to study that and to go after that in a really big way. So let me go back to verse four, because yep. I want to hone in on verse four. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold upon their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And then it says, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So the spirit is being made manifest among the 24 elders that are circling the throne. And there's 24 thrones and 24 elders. And the word of God says that they are sitting. All of those are prophetic pictures. Every single one of those things are. Now, when you see somebody standing, it means one thing. When you see somebody walking, it means another thing. When you see somebody sitting, it tends to mean in judgment and in power. That's wow. what it means to be. So if the Bible says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, if we are seated, it means that we're positioned in a place of authority. So he's literally sharing his authority with us, right? And we know that he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Whenever we see that he is the King of Kings, that means he has authority over everything that has authority. And when we see that he is the Lord of Lords, we see that he has ownership over everything that is owned, right? So it's authority and ownership. Oh, don't you just love the word of God, man?
That's amazing, man. That's amazing.
It is so cool. So one of the things I want to talk to you about, Jamie, and kind of share with everybody else is this thing about 24, because, you know, there was a show that came out called 24 here within the past 10 years.
That gave me anxiety. I tried watching that thing, man. I felt like my blood pressure went up way high. I don't know if you got to sit through that, but.
No, man, I'm the same way. I just couldn't handle it. I just couldn't handle it. I was the same way. I was like, okay, there's no, I just can't handle it.
Yeah.
But with that said, whenever that movie came out or when that television show came out, I was like, man, God is speaking right now through the headlines of pop culture.
Mm.
And he's telling us, look to Revelation 4. That's what he's telling us. And I know that whenever you see the number 24, what is amazing is it always has to do with the throne of Jesus. It has to do with the authority of Jesus. Now, I read this book by this crazy cat, and he's a nut, and shameless plug, Jamie. Shameless plug.
There you go, man.
Preach. And,
you know, people come up to me and try to get me to sign that all the time. They're like, I love your book.
Sign it. Dude, sign it. I double dog dare you, man. You need to sign it because that's hilarious. So whenever, that's so funny. That is so funny. But dude, I want you to check this out. Okay, so when it comes to the manifest presence among the priests, there's 24 priests in 1 Chronicles 24. When it comes to the manifest presence of the Spirit, there are 24 elders in Revelation. Then there are also 24 divisions of priests in 1 Chronicles 24.
Yes.
Verses 1 through 19. And then there are 24 chapters in the Gospel of Luke. When I was first studying this out, like, okay, what is that? It has to do with the throne of Jesus being made manifest in the midst of humanity. So, like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. Brother, before we ever discovered that the earth was a circle, the Bible said that the earth was a circle. And before we ever discovered that the earth was 24,000 miles around, we saw 24 elders circling the throne.
Wow.
Okay. So when God creates things like time, okay, what circles time? It's 12 times 2. It's 24, right? So there's 24 hours in a day. There's also 24 elders are on the throne. There are literally 24,000 miles around the planet Earth. And my friend, the planet Earth has 24 time zones.
Okay? Wow, man. Yeah, I did not know that.
There's 24 time zones. So I, you know, how the longitude problem was solved was simply a guy by the name of John Harrison from the British Royal Society of the 50-pound heads. He actually solved it. And do you know how he solved it? He simply made a clock that was compatible with the ocean. Up until the time that John Harrison was able to form a clock that worked on the ocean, it didn't work because it couldn't rock back and forth because things swing. It couldn't get wet. It couldn't this, it couldn't that. And he found out a way to do it. Like, why would that solve the longitude problem? Simply because if you're out in the middle of the ocean and if you look up, and you're like, dude, it's 12 o'clock straight up. I wonder what time it is, say, in Greenwich, England. Oh, look, it's 3 o'clock there. That means you're 3,000 miles away because the Earth is 24,000 miles around.
Whoa. Come on, man.
So yeah. The time and the space are, you cannot separate it. They're in perfect continuum. Okay.
Yep.
So when you see 24, you also see the continuum of time, space, and matter. You see it in physics. You see it everywhere around you. It's going on. Okay. You also need to know this too, that there are 36 recorded miracles of Jesus. One is the resurrection of Jesus, and then that makes 37. But there are 36 pre-resurrection miracles of King Jesus. Now, look, we know he did many more miracles than that, but the Bible records 36. Did you know that 24 of them are cures for diseases? 24.
Wow.
Yeah. So again, what is 24? It's the elders. It's the throne. What is that? Authority. Authority over what? Sickness and disease. Authority over time and space.
That's authority. Cool, man.
Yeah.
That is cool.
And that's what happens, man, when Jesus is in our midst. Now, yep. There's something else that's really cool. You know, I do lots of star parties, and my critics will say, well, he's into witchcraft since he's into numbers and he's into stars and all that. Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm into King Jesus, and these things are supposed to glorify the Lord. They're not supposed to be given to witches. You're not supposed to
do
that.
Right.
These things are supposed to glorify King Jesus. And when it comes to the constellations of heaven, of the heavens, there are 12 major constellations that are quote unquote signs. And then there's a whole bunch. There's 360 other constellations, or there's a total of 360 constellations. And you get to looking at all these, and then there's this one really cool star in the heavens that does not move, but everything circles it, and that's called the North Star, and it represents the throne of Jesus. I want to show you a picture of what the North Star looks like. Boom. That Polaris star, or the polar star, represents the throne of Jesus. Everything circles it. Everything.
Wow. Come on, man.
And here's the deal. It represents true north. If you can find the North Star, what you find is Jesus. And if you can find the North Star, you are never lost again. If Jesus is on the throne of your heart, you're never going to be lost again. Now, I want to tell you this too, that the star in the heavens that represents the throne of Jesus and represents Revelation chapter 4 is indeed Polaris, or the North Star. But I also want to tell you, you know that there's 7 spirits, right? You know that, yep. and they are before the throne. We also know that before Revelation chapter 4 is introduced, we know that the 7 churches are there, and that's Revelation 2 and Revelation chapter 3. There is a constellation in the heaven that represents all of that. And you know what it is? It's you and I would call it the Big Dipper, or it's also known as Ursa Major. And you know what Ursa Major, or the 7 stars, and do you know what the Big Dipper does? Do you know what the 7 stars points to? Let me show you, man. Look at this. Shows us that it circles the throne, and it points to the one who sits on the throne.
Whoa, come on, man.
So before that was ever in the Bible, it was actually in the heavens. That's in the heavens. Why? Because the author of the heavens and the author of the Bible is the same exact person.
That's incredible. Man, I'm going to rewind the tape. That is so good, man. That is so good. You know,
I can't tell you how much I love that.
This is really cool stuff. Jesus said this is the identity of the elders. Jesus tells his disciples, the apostles, specifically apostles, in Matthew 19:28, that when the Son of Man sits on his throne of glory, that the 12 will also sit with him on their own thrones. And then they will judge the 12 tribes of the house of Israel. And so you have the 12 apostles, right? Judas has been replaced, but you have the 12 apostles whose names are written in the foundation stones in heaven, right? At the gate of the city. But then you also have the 12 of the 12 tribes, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob the 12. And so you have the 12. And so you put them together and they're around the throne. Now, here's what's interesting about this scene. This is a courtroom scene. This is not just, you know, hey, this is a really nice little palace scene. Because when Jesus sits on the throne, it's really like Solomon, when Solomon sat on his throne. And what did they do? He judged. They brought issues before him to his throne. And he sat there. When he sat on the throne, he issued judgments. He said, nope, that's not right. We're going to do it this way. Or and it was really hard things. And so the 12 or the 24 around the throne, their job, their business is to constantly affirm the decisions of the one who sits on the throne.
Come on,
to say,
brother,
you are right in every decision you make. Everything that you do is right. Everything that you do is good. You're worthy. You are awesome. And so they constantly reaffirm that, so that in that courtroom scene, there's no longer an accuser present. All it is someone, 24, who are in complete agreement with everything that he does. And so that's an amazing thing. And in the same way, we, not that we're sitting around on 24 thrones, but we can come into a full agreement with everything that he does. And in our own way, have our Revelation 4 experience, our Revelation 5 experience. And so he's there on the throne and he is there right now.
Yes, he is.
He's there right now. This is not a future thing. He is there right now, issuing decrees, making things in his own judgment right. And he's righting wrongs. And that's an amazing thing. That's for us, not against us.
You know what the difference to that is? The difference is between those that are saved and those that are not saved. It's like, what does the Holy Spirit do for the sinner? The Holy Spirit convicts the sinner. But what does the Holy Spirit do for the believer? He convinces the believer to boldly approach the throne of grace.
Wow.
And so a lot of people think that the Holy Spirit is like, I don't know, he's the quality control of all the believers. No, no, no. Listen, he's not going around convicting everybody.
That's awesome.
Not what he's doing. He's convicting sinners, but he's convincing believers, you can do this.
Yeah.
This is real. This is right. That's why the fear of the Lord is one of the seven spirits that is made manifest in the presence of God. So it's just like, okay, no, man, this is you. You are passionate about the things of Jesus. You're thinking the right way. You're doing it.
Come on, man.
From the very beginning, the Lord has called our tribe to be the hands and the feet of King Jesus to the poor and to the world's most vulnerable. We have been demonstrating the heart of the Lord in at least 53 nations throughout the world by building nearly 100 water wells, schools and homes for orphans, leprosy villages in India, and even now, we are feeding more than 3,000 people every single week right here in the United States through our local food banks. Several years ago, we built a massive effort to save boys and girls from the terrors of sexual slavery. You know, the number of redeemed children is now in the thousands, thousands of kids rescued, and those numbers are growing every single day. When you partner with Troy Brewer Ministries, not only are you helping me preach the gospel, but you're actually helping me demonstrate it through selfless acts of redemption and also helping us see a little boy or a little girl saved in every way that a child can be saved. We know we can't do it alone, so we're asking you to prayerfully consider being a part of our tribe. When you call us today or when you go to troybrewer.com, and once you partner with us, not only will you receive the blessing of God for this great kingdom effort, but you will also receive free access to our video teaching platform at troybrewer.tv. It's video on demand, point, click, and have your life change. It's all of my School of Ministry, all of my School of Prophecy, all of my videos called Numbers That Preach, all of my pulpit teaching, and even all of my conferences with guests from all over the planet Earth. This is our free gift to all of our monthly partners, and I encourage you to take advantage of it. Go to troybrewer.com and partner with us today.
I've got one more thing that I got to show you too. That's in Revelation chapter 4.
Yes.
And I've got a little bit more weirdness here for you. And by the way, friends, I want to tell you, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you. I'm loving this. We still got a little more ways to go. We are in Revelation chapter 4. If you don't have your Bible, get your Bible and go through Revelation chapter 4. We happen to be in the New King James Version. And I also want to say this too, that we do this every single Tuesday at 12 o'clock high noon. We go verse by verse by verse. Okay. Now here's another one. And I'm going to show you this. Oh, this is, I'd love this. Okay. In Revelation 4, verse 4, again, it says that these 24 elders were clothed in white robes and they had crowns of gold upon their heads. And then it says, from the throne proceeded three different things: lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Now, all three are going on at the same time, but it's revealing three different stages of how things work: lightnings, thunderings, and voices. I'm going to show you another one as well, another example of this. And these examples of these three different stages are all the way through the Word of God, but they're so huge whenever it's in the book of Revelation. Another one is whenever you see the four living creatures in verse 8, they got all these wings. They don't rest day or night. And it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is yet to come. There's another example of the three different stages.
Okay, yes.
Here's another one. This is just in Revelation chapter 4. If you start looking for these patterns, you can find them all the way through the Word of God, especially in the book of Revelation. But another one is found in verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits upon the throne, who lives forever and ever and ever. And the 24 elders fall down, who sits on the throne, worship him, lives forever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. So we give glory and honor and thanks, and he has glory and honor and power.
Whoa. Okay? Whoa.
This pattern is all the way through the book of Revelation.
Okay.
Now, I read this book.
You my book.
It's your book, Jamie. It's the one that everybody asks you to autograph. I read this book. I've actually been doing this study for a very, very, very long time, always looking and going, there it is again, there it is again, there it is again. And like, well, what is this? It's the difference between a 30-fold experience with Jesus, or a 60-fold experience with Jesus, or a 100-fold experience with Jesus.
Yes.
It's the 30-fold group of Christianity. Let me get around my microphone. The 30-fold group of Christianity is huge. The 60-fold group is much, much, much smaller. And then the 100-fold is even smaller than that. And we have to strive hard. We have to live our whole life and press in into that third stage, okay? Now, look, we know that there's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit, right? We were created in the image of God. What is that? It's body, soul, and spirit. First stage, second stage, third stage, okay? The enemy comes in the term, but what are the enemies we fight? We fight the flesh, we fight the world, and we also fight the devil, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so time is past, present, and future. Right? The Word of God is written, the Word of God is spoken, and then the Word of God is living. That third category. A lot of people tap into the first one, but they don't ever tap into that third category, okay? The temple has the outer court, it has the inner court, and then it has the most holy place, right? God's covenant was established through Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob.
Yeah, right? Come on, man.
Man, if you keep on studying this, and I have page after page after page in my book of these things, but there are four examples of these three different stages just in Revelation chapter 4. There might be more that I've just never seen, but you know, like the heavens, the sun and the moon and the stars. Jesus went from death to burial to resurrection. There's 40 years Saul was the king, 40 years David was the king, and then 40 years Solomon was the king.
Come on, man.
Man, dude, there's Egypt, there is wilderness, and then there's the promised land. Dude, we got to get into that promised land place. We have to get into that place.
Yeah.
So a lot of people fall out. Mildred's telling me, hey, tell everybody, don't forget, you have to seek, you have to ask, and you have to knock. Right? Right on?
Yep.
Seeking is with your eye. Asking is with your mouth. Knocking is with your hand. It's the tangible presence of God. It's where you put your hand on it. Oh, come on, my
man.
Brother. Peter, James, and John, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Like, what? Okay, the power of the devil is to accuse, to deceive, and to condemn. Acts chapter 2:22, signs, miracles, and wonders.
Whoa.
So I can go on and on and on, and I literally have page after page of this, and a lot of these, I have five pages just in my book, numbers that preach of these different examples. But in Revelation chapter 4, there are four examples of those three different stages. And friends, I want to just tell you this. When we're looking at the book of Revelation, we're looking at the majesty of King Jesus. We're looking at his majesty. And to me, and I know that it's the same way for you, brother, is that the lens that Jesus offers us in the book of Revelation to see, what does it look like when Jesus is king? What is that? And this is what he's doing, man. He is talking to everybody and saying, let he who has an ear, let him hear. Let he who has an eye, let him see. What is that? What does that mean? It means this. If you're at first stage level, I've got a word for you. But you don't have to stay in first stage level. If you're in second stage level, I got a word for you. If you're in the third stage, manifest promised land 100-fold thing that Jesus is asking you to walk in, I've got something for you as well. Don't think just because God is meeting you in a very humble place that is not yet defined, it's just a mess. There's the good will of God, the acceptable will of God, and the perfect will of God. Good is always a mess, always. At the end of all 7 days of creation, he said, it's good. And it was a mess, Jamie. Stars were exploded. There was supernova. Radiation was everywhere. Oh my gosh, it was crazy. Right? But he called it good.
Yeah.
Man, that first stage is so messy, but the third stage is where you see it for what it's actually supposed to be. And we see that in the book of Revelation over and over and over.
Man, this is good stuff, man. This is good stuff.
Yeah, it is good stuff. I love the book of Revelation. And friends, Jamie, I'll say this to you in front of everybody. We have to know the book of Revelation, don't we, man?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and when you look at it, a lot of people, what happens is they just kind of chalk it up to parables, riddles, enigma, and they go, it's not, you can't figure it out. And then the whole kind of, well, it'll just all pan out, however it's going to happen. It's just all going to pan out. That's good, but it's not the third stage. And so here's what it says in Daniel 12. It says, and this is one that's been quoted so often, in a totally different way than it's supposed to be taken. Daniel 12:4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. And so a lot of kind of modern Bible people will talk this scripture and they'll say, see, what that's saying is that knowledge will increase, like Google, you know, like the encyclopedia, everything is going to be, you know, completely renewed, new knowledge. By the time a book hits the bookshelf, it's completely expired. It's irrelevant. But that's not what he's saying. And he says, many shall run to and fro. And a lot of people think, well, that's planes, trains, and automobiles. It's not what he's saying. He's talking about the prophecy of Daniel, which is mirrored in Revelation. And so he says, many will run to and fro, which is they will go back and forth over these scriptures. They'll run back and forth. They'll try to find the meaning. They'll pour over this. And then it says, and knowledge shall increase. So there's a point, and I think we're coming to that point in history, where all of a sudden the book is opened. And these mysteries that were once hidden for for 1900 years, 2000 years are all of a sudden being made known in our time. And I like to say this, that prophecy has a timestamp written into it.
That's correct.
It's got a it's got a spiritual timestamp written into it. So there's a time where that prophecy begins to unfold, and all of a sudden you get the meaning of it. And you're like, ah, I think what you're talking about, Troy, is helping us unlock the meaning of the words, the meaning of the scripture that's been hidden. You know, you couldn't figure it out years ago. People were trying to understand, what is this? Is this helicopters or is this locusts? And so suddenly it's coming to life in our time. And so I think it's really important that everybody digs in with us in this, because this is written for us to know, not to ignore, but to know, to lean in, to find out the meaning, to search the meaning.
It's also written for us to have great confidence and not to freak out, you know.
Yeah.
It's written for us to become bold. And you know, Jesus says, comfort you one another with these words.
Yeah.
Talking about this.
Yeah.
And this is to bring us great comfort. I'm not afraid of the book of Revelation. I'm not afraid of the return of King Jesus. I'm sorry for how messed up the world is. And now the world is it's getting so crazy now. I mean,
yeah.
We're literally looking at a global passport now. We're literally now, it's not some weird conspiracy theory. It's not some crazy pie in the sky. No, this thing is happening quickly. That while there are governments in the world, there is quickly becoming a one world government that people are going to recognize and say, hey, if you don't have this, if you don't have that, you can't travel. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't go there unless this world organization actually approves of it. We're seeing that happen right now, right before our eyes. And yep. In the midst of that, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound, my friend. And
yeah.
I'm telling you right now, the Spirit of God is being poured out. And I'm excited about the victory I have. I'm excited about the victory I'm going to have. I'm excited about what I'm going to get to see that so many other people who are way better than me never got to see.
Yeah.
So many people. And you're, brother, you're talking about this increased revelation. People have paid a tremendous price for the revelation that has been handed to us.
Yeah.
We owe it to them to press in and keep pressing in and keep pressing in. Absolutely. Yeah. True.
So good, man. So good. Yeah. You know, I used to listen to the book of Revelation. I remember Alexander Scorby, King James English. I had an audio cassette, put it in, flip it, you know, get halfway through around a Revelation 12 and then done. So I had to flip it. And I remember driving around delivering pizza. I was 17 years old, listening to that thing day and night. And I thought, man, one day I'm going to understand what this means.
Yes.
But what does it say? He says, hey, there's a blessing when you read the words of this prophecy. There's a blessing. Right. And so I think there's a blessing being released. And you're watching, receive that blessing.
Hey, Tab, you just put something up there for me, Ladybug. What was it? I'm sorry that I missed it. It says, it is written to fulfill his word in us. He never leaves us destitute. That's right, Aaron. You are so right on, my brother. Do you have another one up there for us, Ladybug? Okay, so Natasha says, pave the way for our king's return. That's his desire. Yes, ma'am. That is his desire. Okay, so Lisa says, thank God that we have examples of transportation. Right on, man. Hey, you know what? There's one more thing, too, that I want to hone in on, and we'll close on this, is when you get to the four living creatures, one with a face like a lion, a face like a bull, a face like a man, and a face like a flying eagle. All right, whenever you get to that, one of the things that we see is that, and I'm sure that you covered this last week, but as they progress throughout the Bible, they begin to reveal more and more and more of themselves, which I think is also an indication of this revelation being more and more and more revealed.
Yeah.
The throne of King Jesus being more and more and more revealed. And then it says this, it says that when they lifted up all of their wings, this is a crazy thing. They have eyes in front of them, eyes beside them, and eyes behind them. Like, what? Like, yeah, no, you ain't seen nothing like this. This is cray cray. Like, yeah. And then it tells us why. It says, because they circle the throne with eyes in front, the future, with eyes beside them, the present, and eyes in the back. What is that? It's the past. And they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is yet to come. Every time, Jamie, they circle the throne. And there's no telling how long that they've been doing this. I mean, who knows? Who knows? I don't have any idea how many times they have circled the throne. But every time they have got another look at King Jesus, a 360 look, they have seen something crazy that Jesus has done they have never seen before. They are seeing something amazing Jesus is doing that they've never seen before, and something amazing he's going to do that they've never seen before. And it blows their mind, and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is yet to come.
Yeah, come on.
I think that's one of the coolest things ever, man.
It really is. And, you know, when we think about what Jesus did for us, we don't realize how it actually even affected heaven. Heaven itself. Hebrews goes into around 9 that Jesus went into the Holy of Holies in heaven and cleansed the heavens. And so, you know, lies were told in heaven. And those are the lies of the enemy, the 5 lies that he told in Isaiah 14. And so those are the 5 I wills that I believe that he caused a great rebellion. So when Jesus cleanses the heavens, it changes everything, even heaven itself, even around the throne. And so in Isaiah 6, when you look at the seraphim, which are here in Revelation 4 and 5, they're known as a seraphim. Anytime you see the word seraphim or cherubim, that word, that's an old word used to describe angelic beings with animal-like characteristics. And so they had animal features, wings, you know, face like an ox, face like an eagle. Those are animal-like characteristics. They had to cover their face before the cross. Isaiah 6, they're covering their face. But as soon as the cross hits, boom, that blood cleanses the heavens. They get to behold as in a mirror. Their unveiled face, they behold the glory of God. And so we, in the same way, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image by the Spirit of God and going from glory to glory. And so I think that what you're saying, this revelation to me has become so, the timing of this is so important. I think that we're in this time. Wouldn't you agree, Troy? I think we're coming near this time. I don't know. It could be 20, 30 years from now. It could be long, a little bit longer. I don't know. But I think we're close enough. We're on the edge of that moment in history where this stuff is about to unfold. I can't name a date. I don't have a date. I remember when I was in 1988, sitting in my mother's van. My mother, Troy, used to leave us in the van when we were kids and go shopping at the mall. Terrible. And so 100 degrees outside, and she'd say, sit in here. And so we'd sit inside. This is the days when you could do that and not get arrested. And so we'd sit inside. I remember watching with my brothers outside. This guy rolls up. He's got a sign on his chest on the front and the back, and it's got 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 88. And he had it in such small font, I couldn't read it from the window of that van. But I was like, oh, he's coming. And so this is like 1988, like January. I was like, he's coming this year. And I got all my brothers. I'm like, you better repent. You better repent.
Yeah, man. I want to tell you, I got married in 89 and I was engaged in 88. I was scared to death that Jesus was going to come back before my wedding night. We're horrified. You know, young Christian men worry about those things. I don't know. You know.
Oh, man. Get real. Come, King like, Jesus. Oh, wait, come, King
just Jesus. Wait, Jesus. Just wait. Wait until February of 89, please.
It's oh, yeah. So no, funny.
I'm sorry to put a joke in there. It really wasn't a joke. I mean, I was terrified that Jesus was going to come back right then. We were all freaking out in the 80s. You know what? I don't think that there's any way that we can, you know, when you and I are thinking, okay, I don't know, it could be 20 years, could be 30 years, and it most certainly could. But I don't think that we have a way to measure the future from here because everything is speeding up. I don't think that we can measure the future according to how we have measured the past, because the closer that we get to the return of King Jesus, the more things speed up. Time is very, very, very relevant to all kinds of things. Time is relevant to acceleration. It's relevant to gravity. It's relevant to all kinds of things. Time is also relevant to the return of King Jesus. And I want to just, I'm telling you, as time was created for the purposes of redemption, and the closer we get to the return of King Jesus, the more times speed up and they're altered. And as a matter of fact, why? Because time is forced to get into sync with the return of King Jesus. And the Bible says that whenever the Antichrist rises, he will seek to change the times. He wants to get out of sync with the return of King Jesus, and he can't. He wants to change the time. So I don't think, you know, and people ask me, are we talking about this year, next year? No, listen, we're not day setters. That's ridiculous. However, I can tell you this. I can't look into 30 years of the future and measure it as if I'm by the same measure of 30 years in the past, because time is speeding up and everything is changing.
That's good, man. That's good. Selah.
Amen. Selah, my brother. Jamie, thanks so much for joining me today. And thank you, man, for being my friend and for loving Jesus the way that you do. You got anything coming up that we can tell people about?
Man, I'm right now writing a book. So pray for me. Pray that makes sense.
You need help, brother.
It's called More Prophetic Numbers.
It is not. I knew he was going to do that. Everybody keeps going to Jamie saying, will you please sign, I love your book. That's my book. That's not Jamie's book. Anyway, that's so funny.
That's great.
Jamie, I love you, man. Love everybody, you too, buddy. Go to jamiegalloway.com. Check out his stuff. Be a part of his dream culture. Pray for Jamie. He needs all the help he can get, and you need all the practice you can get in praying, so it'll be mutual benefit. God bless you, my friend.
See you, buddy.
I'll see you, man. Bye-bye. Well, friends, this has been fun. We've been going through Revelation chapter 4, and I want to tell you that joining me right now from our studio across the parking lot is Miss Tabitha Murphy. How are you, Tab?
I am good. This has been so great.
wasn't that awesome?
Yes.
Single time you see the throne of Jesus, you see something brand new, amazing you've never seen before, past, present, and future.
Yes, and that's why we should just continue to seek more and more and more of him, because if they are circling the throne and constantly getting new revelation, I mean, we have access to that too.
And then we're part of the seven churches, right? And seven churches, or the Big Dipper, actually Ursa Major, circles the throne, constantly pointing everybody. You want to know where the North Star is? You want to know where the throne of Jesus is? It's right there. That's our job. Okay, Miss Tab. Hey, man, thanks so much, man, for joining me.
This has been fun. Always new revelation when we go through Revelations. See what I did?
I'm sorry. I clicked a little bit too soon. I'm sorry about that. God bless you. Okay, friends. Well, blessing and peace on you. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us again next week with Jamie Galloway and me and Miss Tabitha Murphy. And we'll be back here again this time next week. And until the next time I see you, keep looking up, my friends. And I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye.